It was aided by a worried nation's grasping for encouragement and hope. For days it was the one encouraging sight that met their eyes each morning. And the War Department, earlier than was its practice, identified the division inside the town. So even before their bloody month in the town was up, to the world, the 101st became the battered bastards of the Bastion of Bastogne. The elements of drama were there. Courage in the midst of surrounding panic and defeat. Courage and grim humor in the midst of physical suffering, cold, and near-fatal shortages. A surrender demand and a four-letter word rebuttal. And a real comradeship. Courage and comradeship combined to develop a team that the Germans couldn't whip. Of course, Combat Command B of the 10th Armored Division was also in Bastogne, but it was not identified in the press. And of course, the 82nd Airborne fought as costly and desperate a fight on the northern shoulder of the Bulge, a fight that was at least as significant as the one at Bastogne. But it was not surrounded and never got the publicity the 101st received. The 101st still had a complaint. As the story of the Battle of the Bulge is told today, it is one of George Patton and his Third Army coming to the rescue of the encircled 101st, like the cavalry coming to save the settlers in their wagon circle. No member of the 101st has ever agreed that the division needed to be rescued. With the encirclement broken, the men of the 101st expected to return to Mourmelon to bask in the Allied world's adulation and perhaps celebrate the new year in Paris. But the heroic stand at Bastogne had been a defensive action. To win the war, the Allies were going to have to resume their offensive. The Germans had come out of their fixed positions in the West Wall and made themselves vulnerable. Eisenhower wanted to seize the opportunity. But his problem at the end of December was the same as it had been in the middle of the month, a manpower shortage. The stark truth was that the Germans outnumbered the Allies on the Western Front. The United States had not raised enough infantry divisions to fight a two-front war. This was a consequence of the pre-war decision by the government to be lavish with deferments for industrial and farm labor and to refrain from drafting fathers. There was also a shortage of artillery shells, brought on by a decision in September, when it seemed the war in Europe would be over in a matter of weeks, to lower production of shells on the industrial priority list. To go over to a general offensive, as he had decided to do, Ike needed the 101st and 82nd in the line. It was a question of timing.